What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, September 11th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, today the Eagles start to get back on a somewhat normal schedule after their trip to Brazil last week, a victorious trip to Brazil. We start to get more of the general weekly game week type of thing. So what is on the schedule for today? Today we are going to hear from offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, and special teams coordinator Michael Clay. They will speak to the media today around 11:45. So if you're into coordinator talk, if you want to hear what they have to say, make sure you are tuned in, or at least I'm sure the Eagles stream it, but also lots of tweets around 11:45 with what they have to say. I'm sure Kellen will talk about Jalen's interceptions. Vic Fangio will talk about the pass rush. And Michael Clay will talk about the fact that nothing really happened on special teams. But the trio will speak today at 11:45. As far as an injury report today, nothing on the injury report. They've yet to practice. There's been no news of any new injuries. So they do still at least seem to be a very healthy team heading into week two against the Falcons. And now let's get into some news, because there was some roster news, some changes on the practice squad. Some not very noteworthy, but one is probably one that you've seen a lot of people talk about. Probably some of your favorite beat writers talk about this. The Eagles lost center Dylan McMahon to the Rams. McMahon was signed off of the practice squad onto the Rams practice squad. So as you remember around final cuts, there was a lot of kind of worry and talk about the fact that the Eagles released Dylan McMahon. Would he get claimed? Would they lose him? He makes it through waivers. He signs to practice squad. 1 week later, he's gone. So first, when a player is signed from practice squad, the Eagles generally have a chance to match it. It's possible Dylan McMahon was just like, nope, I'm going to LA. But generally, the Eagles get a chance to match it. So the Eagles had an opportunity, I would assume, to keep Dylan McMahon, and they decided to let him go. Was this a right decision? He was just a draft pick by the team. By all accounts, had a really good training camp, including mine. I thought there were some days where he looked really good. He got second team reps fairly early on in camp, worked mostly with the third team, played in preseason. So I think it comes down to this. If Dylan McMahon ends up being a great player, then this was a mistake by the Eagles. They drafted him. They scouted him. They liked him enough to use a pick on him. They signed him back to the practice squad. They're not super deep at offensive line. They're definitely not deep at backup center. So this really comes down to, if Dylan McMahon turns into a player, then this is obviously a mistake. But on the flip side, it has to be said, the Eagles have now released him and they allowed him to leave. So clearly they were not as enamored with him as perhaps the outside world is. If they felt he had potential, he would still be here. They wouldn't have cut him. You've seen it in the past. They keep guys they do not want to expose to waivers. Jordan Mailata was kept many years ago. Tyree Jackson has been kept in the past. They do this with players. If they feel you are a young guy that has potential, they will not expose you to waivers. The Eagles clearly are not as high on Dylan McMahon as other people. So he's now gone. We will find out and see if this was a mistake. It certainly could end up being so. The Rams have a good scouting department. The Rams seem to know talent. Perhaps Eagles will be wrong. But until Dylan McMahon becomes a player they have regret letting go, I have a hard time getting worked up about this. He was a late round pick. The Eagles and Stoutland clearly aren't super high on him. It's an offensive lineman, so obviously Stoutland has something to say about who's on the roster and who's not. But now he is part of the Los Angeles Rams, and we will see if this is something that Howie and team end up regretting, because if he turns into a good offensive lineman, he's someone that they could have kept in the building. Outside of losing Dylan McMahon to the Rams, there were some other practice squad moves made by the team. They released linebacker Brandon Smith, who I know our boy BLG felt had a really good camp and certainly looks the part of an athletic playmaking linebacker, but he's gone. And wide receiver Griffin Hebert didn't really have a great camp, didn't really flash a ton. Was kind of surprised they brought him back on practice squad, but he's now gone. And in their place, they have signed wide receiver Danny Gray and defensive back AJ Wood. So another defensive back comes in. This is certainly a position they've been looking at a lot of guys at. Guys they've tried to claim off waivers, they've signed free agents. So they're definitely still moving around at the defensive back spot. Let's quickly get into both of them. The Danny Gray one is a little interesting. So He was a former third round pick of the 49ers. Howie's favorite type of player seems to be former third round picks, Trey Sermon, Davis Tyree Price, the running back, and now Danny Gray, also a former third round pick by the 49ers. So he was a third round pick in 2022. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds. In his final year at SMU, he had 803 yards, 9 touchdowns. He ran a 4.33 out of college. Speed is the name of his game. 13 games in the NFL, 1 catch for 10 yards. Clearly hasn't gotten a chance to play much. You know, former third round pick, take a chance on practice squad. I'm fine with it. It is maybe getting now a little repetitive of continually taking guys and Niners don't feel are good enough. But you know what? It is what it is. I'm not mad at the signing. If you feel like he's a fast speed receiver you could potentially develop, go for it. The other signing, defensive back A.J. Woods. He played 5 seasons for the University of Pittsburgh, was a UDFA this past year in the NFL draft. He played from 2019 to 2023. He played in 59 games in college, 105 tackles, 29 passes defended, 7 tackles for a loss, 4 interceptions, 2 sacks, and 1 forced fumble. Was originally signed by Washington after the draft. So another defensive back added to the team that they're going to take a chance on. You know, not as much to say about him as Danny Gray. We'll see if the scouting department got this one right. Okay, now that we've gone over all the practice squad moves of the day as they prepare for game week against the Falcons, let's get into some non-football-ish news, non-roster news. The week 1 in the NFL is over, which means power rankings are officially out around the league. Let's see where the Eagles landed. Well, first, let me tell you about the most important power ranking. Your boys' power ranking. So I have the Eagles in the NFC as the second team. I have them behind the Lions. I think the Lions just deserve it. They were in the championship game last year. They won a good game at home against a good team. I think they have a better defense than the Eagles right now. I think they probably might have a better offense. I think at least they're comparable. I think it's pretty close, but I'd give the Lions the edge. I'd put Eagles number 2. They beat the Packers in Brazil. Quality win. I think their win is better than the Cowboys' win over the Browns. The 49ers with a nice win over the Jets, but honestly, the Niners coming off losing a Super Bowl, you're just not going to catch them very high in my power rankings this year because I don't think they're going to be going back to the Super Bowl. So I would go Lions, Eagles, Cowboys, Niners, and then Packers in the NFC. And then NFL overall, I think you have to give it to the Chiefs, reigning Super Bowl champion, great win week 1 against the Ravens. And they have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They're number 1. I'm going with the Texans number 2. Not a super quality win against the Colts, but I think they're a great team with a great quarterback. I think they're going to be in it all year. Number 3, I'm going with the Lions for the reasons I just said. Great defense, great offense, a coaching staff I've always loved, as you know if you listen to this pod. And I just think with the playoff experience last year, they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Number 4, Baltimore Ravens. You could have convinced me to put the Eagles over them, but Baltimore, great quarterback, tough week 1 game. I'll still give them the number 4 spot. And then I put the Eagles 5. I just think they're a top 5 team in the NFL. I think they had a top 5 win last week. And despite the collapse last year, they have, without question, been one of the best teams in the NFL since 2022. So they have playoff experience, they have talent, they have the resume, they have a quality week 1 win. They definitely belong in the top 5. So let's look at some of the other power rankings from around the internet world. NFL.com has the Eagles 4th behind the Chiefs, Niners, and Lions. Can't disagree with the Chiefs and Lions. The Niners, again, are going to be ranked ahead of the Eagles in a lot of these. I don't think they're better. I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. They're dealing with the same thing the Eagles did last year. I'm basically writing them off. ESPN has them 5th behind the Chiefs, Niners, Lions, and Ravens. CBS Sports has the Eagles 8th behind the Chiefs, Niners, Bills, Lions, Texans, Cowboys, Ravens. Oh my, I disagree with that one. I would not put them behind the Cowboys. I would not put them behind the Bills. And as you know, I would not put them behind the Niners. Yahoo has them 7th behind the Chiefs, Niners, Lions, Cowboys, Ravens, and Bills. So the consensus is the Eagles are a top 10 team in the NFL, which I think, you know, you would assume. But with the way last season ended, I don't think it's a lock that other media outlets could have viewed them that way. Again, I'd put them ahead of the 49ers, the Bills, and the Cowboys, but the Chiefs, Lions, Ravens, you know, I can't fight too hard on those ones. But overall to be in the top five of two of them and probably the biggest two in NFL.com and ESPN. And then CBS and Yahoo to have you in the top 10, top eight, both of them. Don't think they can complain too much about that. If they go Monday night, beat the Falcons, beat them convincingly, I think you'll see them only go up. Not that the Falcons are great, but if they play great in a primetime spot, the talent looks good again, Jalen cleans up kind of some of the turnover mistakes, I think you'll see them pretty high, even higher up on these power rankings. So without further ado, we have two things on the other side for you. One, I'm going to break down the Eagles' defensive backs versus the Falcons' wide receiver, tight end, running back, pass catcher situation. That's where their best players are on the roster. And then me and Ike Reese got into a debate about if Jalen's interception to AJ was a good throw or not. We will debate that on the other side. I'll play that audio for you. So, but first, as always, a word from our sponsors. Okay, yesterday we broke down the Eagles receivers versus the Falcons defensive backs. I gave the edge in that one to the Eagles receivers. Falcons have some pretty good players in the secondary. AJ Terrell, Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons. But overall, I gave the edge to the Eagles there. Now let's look at the Eagles defensive backs versus the Falcons pass catchers. And I say pass catchers because they're arguably two best pass catchers don't play receiver. That's running back Bijan Robinson, tight end Kyle Pitts. Last year, Bijan's rookie year, he had almost 500 receiving yards, four touchdowns. Keep in mind, they played with trash quarterbacks last year, so nobody's going to have great receiving yards. Kyle Pitts last year, 667 yards, three touchdowns on 90 targets. The 90 targets were second most on the team behind Drake London. I'm not a huge Drake London guy. He had decent numbers last year in 2023. 110 targets, 69 catches, relatively low catch percentage there, in my opinion. Those were both the most on the team, 905 yards, two touchdowns. So as you can see, the Falcons just didn't score a lot of points last year. Bijan, he had eight total touchdowns. Kyle Pitts had three touchdowns. Drake London had two touchdowns. They just were not a team that scored a ton of points last year. So as I look at this current group of receivers, first let's look at the receivers because it is a position that they made a lot of changes to. They bring back Drake London, as I said, close to 1,000 yards last year. I think he's a fine player. I don't think he's an elite special receiver. I don't think he is anything that Quinyon Mitchell or Darius Slay can't cover. I think I would like them both one-on-one matched up against Drake London. Week one, he only had two catches for 15 yards. They talked about getting him the ball more, so I do think you'll see them try to get it to Drake London early in the game. A really good chance for a potential turnover. Whenever you're forcing it to a receiver to get him involved, that's where bad decisions are made, and that is where I think you could see Darius Slay or Quinyon Mitchell make a big play. So Drake London, their best receiver, I think he's probably better than Kyle Pitts. It's kind of close. Kyle Pitts has been a bit of a disappointment, but Drake London, their main guy at the receiver position. Outside of that, they brought in Darnell Mooney. He's new to the team. He had 1,000 plus yards once in 4 years with Chicago. Again, not playing with great quarterbacks there in Chicago. Three targets, one catch, 15 yards versus the Steelers. The Falcons did not put up a lot of yards week one, so no one had a really impressive showing. They only put up 10 points. But Darnell Mooney, a speed guy, someone the Eagles have to watch down the field, someone they'll probably try to get the ball to in creative ways. So a good pickup by them, I think. But again, I think something that the Eagles can handle. I don't think there's a big concern about Darnell Mooney. And then they added Ray McCloud, more known for his special teams play. He actually led the team in targets last week. Seven targets, four catches, 52 yards. This is a group of receivers Eagles should be able to handle. I don't think there's a huge matchup problem here. Week one against the Packers, you were worried about those three, right? Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson. Like, those were an elite group of three receivers. These three receivers are not that. They're closer to just guys than they are special players. So now if Kirk Cousins has a ton of time in the pocket, it's hard to cover any receiver, but these are not matchups that the Eagles corner should be losing. Even if they do start Isaiah Rodgers, move Quinyon to the inside, or frankly, even if Avante plays. Now, Avante, if he's matched up with Darnell Mooney, they're definitely going to attack Avante. Avante got attacked by the Packers. They were successful doing it. You will definitely see Avante get a lot of targets his way early on. So it'll be interesting to see who they try to pin Devontae with. If they move Drake London into the slot, we'll see if Avante follows them. But these are not as good receivers as the Packers. And for its worth, they're not playing on a field where they're slipping all over the place. So we'll see what Avante is in this next week. If Isaiah Rodgers plays, I don't think you'll see Avante. I think they will put Quinyon in the slot or the nickel, and I think they will play Isaiah Rodgers. But overall, nothing one-on-one that these Eagles receivers shouldn't be able to handle. As I mentioned, their best two pass catchers probably aren't running back and tight end. And it'll be interesting to see how the Eagles do that. Tight end, Kyle Pitts. I really liked him coming out of college. I thought you could argue it's basically like drafting a wide receiver. Tight end's a really big role in these offenses now. And he is good. I mean, he's not a bad tight end at all. He is a good receiving tight end. He's made nice catches. He's played with bad quarterbacks. So I'm not writing him off by any stretch. But he has not taken the NFL by storm, I think, kind of the way I thought and a lot of people thought when he was drafted so high by the Falcons. It'll be interesting to see how the Eagles decide to cover him. I think Kelee Ringo could be a really good matchup against him. Kelee is kind of built like a linebacker with, you know, kind of the speed of a corner, physical guy, good in man-on-man or, you know, one-on-one coverage. I think Kyle Pitts could be a good matchup for Kelee if they want to put Kelee out there. I don't think you'll see the Eagles keep consistently a linebacker on Kyle Pitts one-on-one. Definitely not Nakobe. Nakobe would have a severe size disadvantage on him. We'll see if Devin White plays. Maybe, you know, Devin White's a good enough athlete. Again, not super tall. And then there's Zach Bond, but they like Zach Bond so much going after the quarterback. You wonder how comfortable they are one-on-one in coverage against Kyle Pitts. So Kelee Ringo could be a good matchup there. And I think you'll see Quinyon on him potentially quite a bit if Quinyon remains in the slot. So Kyle Pitts, definitely a little bit of a concern for the Eagles. Running back Bijan Robinson, again, we'll see how the matchup is. They like to split him out wide. They'll throw to him out of the backfield. Very elusive once he gets the ball. So when I look at these Falcons skill position players, I don't think the Eagles should give up a ton of points to them. I think that if they're getting after Kirk Cousins, if he has to get rid of the ball quickly, these are not super hard guys to bring down after the catch. Like Bijan is for sure. Darnell Mooney can kind of be. But I don't think they have the skill players to move up and down the field against the Eagles. And I think the Eagles probably have the matchup advantage with their back seven against these kind of skill players of the Falcons. So Not the matchup concern that they had week one against the Packers. I think this is a favorable matchup for the Eagles. Again, the defensive line needs to get after Kirk Cousins, but these are not outstanding individual players, in my opinion, which has to be concerning for the Falcons, considering they've used three top 10 picks. I believe London was top 10. Three top 10 picks on London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan. Those are just not the dynamic three players you want when using a lot of draft capital on them. I don't think anybody would take those three over A.J., Devontae, Saquon, over, you know, the Dolphins set of skill players, you know, potentially over the Bengals set of skill players. Like, it's a nice group, but it's not the game changing, you know, all NFL type you want if you're going to use a top 10 pick on a running back, a tight end, and a receiver. So that is how I view the Eagles back seven against the skill players. They could make plays, but I think the Eagles have the advantage there. Let's wrap this up. We will end the pod with the audio of me and Ike arguing over whether or not Jalen Hurts' throw to A.J. Brown in the end zone was a good throw. I always love arguing with my guy, Ike. Always interested in his perspective. So here is audio for that. And as always, everybody, have a great day. He's Elliot. I'm James. And I'll talk to you guys later.
The throw to A.J. was not a bad decision.
It was a bad decision.
So I don't think it was. A.J. was open.
Did the ball get intercepted?
Because of the throw. A.J. was open. If he makes a better...
That's a yes or no question. Did the ball get intercepted?
It did get intercepted.
Okay, so I didn't ask why it got intercepted, because the plain explanation is it got intercepted because he decided to throw the ball there when every quarterback is taught you don't throw the ball across your body in the middle of the field late. That's something you're taught.
I agree with that.
So the moment he decides to run to the right side of the field, the only thing he should be thinking about, unless he's making a decision to play hero ball, listen to me, is throw the ball away or take off running. When you decide to throw the ball late back across your body, you are putting the ball in harm's way. You're lucky if it doesn't get intercepted. That's not something you're teaching guys to do. You know what the coach says when that, if that's an interception? You know what the coach says in the teaching room? We got away with one there. Great play. But that's not going on the teaching reel for me to teach every quarterback to do that. That's what gets Josh Allen in trouble. It's his decision-making and his belief in his talent. That's Jalen saying to himself, I'm going to try to make something happen here. Because a heady quarterback knows where they're at in the game. They know that they are getting points right now. We are in a situation where we're about to get points.
And big points late.
Why am I taking a chance that I don't need to take? It's unnecessary.
So I agree with you that by the textbook, throwing across your body to the middle of the field is maybe cardinal sin number one for a quarterback. But AJ was open, and he wasn't 40 yards down the field. So I'm okay with him attempting to throw, but it was just such a poor throw that it got intercepted.
I mean, you know why it was a poor throw? Because all of his momentum was going to his right.
Right.
And he's trying to throw the ball back across the field to his left.
I get what you're saying. I'm just saying AJ was open. So watching it live, I understood the throw. Now, you're right. It's not going on a teaching tape. That's not what you're supposed to do. But if he has a special arm, that's a touchdown.
But he doesn't, so it's a bad decision.
No, I'm saying, but because he doesn't have a special arm, that's why it was intercepted. Not because
if he set up in the pocket or if he had a chance to plant his feet,
yep,
set, and then throw.
Right.
It's a great play. When you do it, when you're on the move to the right, there's no way you can have enough velocity.
Well, I think Josh Allen, Mahomes, Lamar maybe, like they make that throw. Like that's a touchdown for them.
You know what Lamar did? He tried to make that throw, didn't he? To Xavier Worthy?
He did.
I mean, Zay Flowers?
What, this past week?
Yeah, this past
week. Okay, yeah.
Didn't
work out.
He missed
well.
Him by a mile.
Okay. Well,
the only reason he wasn't intercepted because he threw it out of the back of the end zone.
Because he's got a special arm. He's got the strength to do it. But
that's not the point that you're making, man. I
agree with your premise that it's not.
Yes,
it's
I don't want to hear is that AJ was open. That's what I don't want to hear. Because that's not the point of the play there. That's making an excuse for a poor decision. That's what that is. That's making an excuse, and I'm tired of seeing it on Twitter, and I'm tired of hearing people make excuses about AJ was open. Well, you know what? If Jalen's feet were planted, he could have made a better throw. He could have got more on the throw.
Yeah, to be clear.
You know why AJ was open? Because everybody was moving to the right, and AJ slipped out the back to the left.
Right, right. Look, again, it was a bad play by Jalen. I'm just okay with the throw. He just made a poor throw. I'm not making an excuse for him. Like, it showed his limitations.
I think it's different than a poor throw. It's a throw he isn't physically capable of making, which makes it a bad
throw. Poor decision.
I guess in a way they're attached. The decision
versus
skill.
It's a poor decision on so many levels. The fact you're in the red zone and you got points to put on the board. It's not what you want your quarterback doing.
I was actually surprised I saw Baldy saying, hey, if AJ hadn't slipped there,
yeah,
and I'm watching the same thing.
Well, when AJ slips because the ball isn't going where AJ's expecting
it.
AJ's adjusting to the ball.
The best case scenario if AJ doesn't slip is that he knocks it out of the defender's hands, honestly.
Well, so I guess where maybe I'm defending it a little more is I thought he had other throws that I thought were worse.